The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. WBOK, 1230 a.m. What New Orleans is talking about. And look, visit our website at www.wbok1230.com. And guys, look, hold on to that temporary solution line at 504-582-9422. That's also our call-in. So we call it the solution line. So to some folk out there, remember, that's also the call-in line, 504-582-9422. Man, as always, man, thank y'all for the conversation. Thank y'all for tuning in, weighing in. And for all of our sponsorships, man, please reach out, man. Consider being a sponsor of the Good Morning Show. Consider putting up your coins, man, and your money to support the mission of the station and what Equity Media has done. We're talking about fair, objective, balanced information, not only to protect our community, man, but to demand accountability, right, for the folk and the citizens in this particular city. This is OT, and in the studio with us are Beth Butler, Executive Director of A Community Voice, and Ms. Deborah Campbell. She's a treasurer and secretary for that organization, pushing for more democratic and local control of the Sewage and Water Board. Ms. Beth Butler, welcome back to the Good Morning Show. And if you could lean forward to that mic, we could hear everything we're going to be talking about. So how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. So first of all, A Community Voice, community organization fighting not just about this issue, but fighting for the rights of people, Deborah Campbell. So, but let's specifically talk about get our Sewage and Water Board back.
Well, what's happening is that we never. But we're asking for control back because what they're doing now is not working. Mm-hmm. We're asking them for lead lines, mm-hmm, to let us know where the lead lines are in the city so that we can either work on removal of the lead lines or filters. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a quick fix. We just need them to filter or have our community to filter their water. It started with lead in the water and health problems,
which has been an issue in New Orleans and in urban communities
forever,
for decades.
That's right.
This might put New Orleans
That's
at right. one point. Several neighbors in our city, man, were under federal watch because of lead.
That's
and,
right.
And potential lawsuits.
Yeah, I'm the parent of an autistic son, mm-hmm, 34 years old. Of course, I still don't know why. So could this be some of the behavioral problems of our kids is caused by lead poisoning?
And let me say, and Beth, chime in when you guys are ready. I think the importance of this effort by a community, not only a community voice, but the other citizens who are fighting for more local control and more democratic control of the Sewage and Water Board is that now that we know about all those old drain lines, now that we know about all those old lines that have collapsed, then why wouldn't it also be those water lines that bring water to us? Have they been replaced? Have they been upgraded? Have they been de-leaded? Quite
no,
profound.
That's what the lawsuit is about.
Okay.
Let us know. We don't have information. Mm-hmm. We need information. We need education. We need to educate the people, and we need Sewage and Water Board to educate us. Let us know what's going on. So now we've filed the lawsuit February the 15th of last year, asking them to give us a list of the lead lines and let us determine if this lead is poisoning our community.
So to date, has there been cooperation, and what's the status of that?
None. We will be in court February the 5th, Hazor's Court, to proceed with what we need to get this done.
Have y'all been before the board? Have you contacted the board or any board members?
Of course,
involved?
We've gone through all of the mm-hmm. measures. We've explained to them what we're trying to do, and they're still sort of brushing us off.
Who is the community representative on the board? Because, you know, in boards past, usually there was always someone. There were community appointments, and I think there was that voice for the neighborhood. They may not have been an engineer or a water board expert,
right,
but they were an expert in fighting for people. Who's that?
No one that we know from the community is on the board. We're only looking at the mayor herself, mm-hmm, and these other board people that they had put in place, because we didn't vote for them to go in place. They were just put mm-hmm. in place. And we know Banks is one of the new.
He is the council representative.
Council person. That's
on
the board.
One time I was on the board. We had two council representatives on the board at one time.
That's right. So this is all we know for sure. But trying to get information from them, it's just not working.
We're having our conversation with Mr. Beth Butler, the Executive Director of A Community Voice, and Ms. Deborah Campbell, Secretary and Treasurer. They're pushing for more democratic and local control of the sewage and water board. There was a state committee studying the water board at one point. I think the mayor and the council talked about bringing on advisors to take a look at the sewage and water board. What's the status of those initiatives, Ms. Campbell?
Nothing that I know of. I haven't gotten any updated reports on anything. Just like I said, that's part of what's going on with us in sewage and water board. We don't have communication.
So as a local community organization that demands accountability and fights for people, if you guys are successful with this effort, so it's more than just replacing those lead pipes. It's having this agency operate as a democratic agency for the community. Explain what that would look like when you guys are successful.
What that would look like is everybody at the table together making decisions, not just a few chosen people at the table making all of the decisions. That would look like, let us know what our rate increase is exactly for. Let us know why our usage is being prorated at such a high rate. You know, give us the information we need to survive.
A high five right here in the studio.
We have senior citizens that's using their medication money to pay water.
And I think what Ms. Campbell just did, guys, this is, I think, the beauty of what you guys are trying to do. Not just about the lawsuit. It's about accountability. No. Because if there were more local control and more community representation on the board, those issues would have been known from the beginning.
In advance. And something would have been done by now.
Right.
But like this, you know, we're trying to push them forward, and they're holding us back, and we're working with LSU, Professor Milkey. He's working with us as far as that. Now, we did have a win. We did get them to put filters in the schools, the drinking water and the cooking water at the school. But we need more. We need everybody's home to be safe. Daycares, nurseries, you know, the younger kids are the ones that's really affected by lead more that we know of more than anything else. We also pretty much don't know what all of these health issues for the older people is caused by. It could very well be caused by the lead in our system. So, you know, we need a change. We need to save our people.
We're talking to members of A Community Voice, demanding more democratic and local control of the sewage and water board. The water board, we know right now the issues with the bills that went out that were 5 and 6 times higher than average bills. We understand that some of that's still happening.
It is.
Right now. We also know that the sewage and water board is under federal consent decree for the sewer system. That in many cases, and they're not replacing the laterals, the old sewer systems that run from the house into the system. So we're finding more and more is being uncovered. Are you guys getting resistance from the board? Because it looks to me like with your list.
It feels like resistance because they're not giving us the information we need. You know, and that's all I can say. We're asking for it. We've been asking for it, and nothing's being done.
When it's currently in Ellen Hazur's
court,
right?
Yes.
Is there a particular time frame on when the judge is going to hear this case?
No. The 5th. It will be in court on the 5th.
The 5th of what?
February.
Okay. So what can other citizens to not only get behind this issue, but to partner with you? Because it looks like to me, this is potentially, we're under one federal consent decree for the sewer system too. And if they don't begin to have action on the in their lead pipes, and it's potentially lead in the drinking other part of the water system, that's potentially another problem with a mandated increase.
That's right. Show up in court. Let's have numbers. Let's let them know that we have people behind us. Let them know that we're not satisfied. As long as you don't say anything, they figure everything is okay and they can continue running business like they're running it. But it's not okay.
504-582-9422. A community voice has said, we're not going to sit on the sideline. Deborah Campbell has said, we're going to advocate and fight for our folk. We need to know that our drinking water is safe. We know the effects of lead, right? We know what lead has done, especially in urban communities, to children.
Yes, and that's another thing. A lot of people don't know. We need to educate the community, mm-hmm. educate the young mothers. They need to know what's going on and how their children are being affected by lead.
There's so many movements in this town right now that citizens, man, every day are taking it upon themselves to demand accountability. They're taking out time out for their lives. But that's it's the importance of what we do here with the Equity Media Group, with WBOK. We get out in front of these issues. This is our partnership with the community.
There's
no other media outlet where you can go
that's
going to deal with this issue the way we're doing it here right now. Correct, Ms. Campbell?
That's correct. We've put it out. We've gone to all of the different news medias. And this is where we landed, here at WBOK, speaking our minds.
Let's go to the lines right now. Line number one, Brother Lazard, you're on with Ms. Campbell and Ms. Butler.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Mr.
Good
Thomas
morning.
And to the community at large. Soothing Water Board candidly gave their executive director a $30,000 raise on top of his $265,000.
Yes, they did.
And also, too, there's a problem with calcium in the water,
mm-hmm.
or water turning into calcium. They don't put calcium in the water, but calcium is in the water. And we need to have at least chemical analysis of what's coming through chemical alley, where they pick up the water at Jefferson Parish and Orleans Parish Line, send it to the water.
Great point.
Because the water is being contaminated in ways they're not telling us. And I thank you for your time.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Both of our guests in the studio were agreeing with. I have seen independent tests done on our water source over the past, and they use these electrical devices to break it down. And oh Lord, when you see the stuff that forms,
that's right,
right,
that's right.
And Ms. Campbell, what you guys' organization is saying is, look, let us know where we are. At least let us know what the quality is. So we'll know what the real deal is, so then we can move forward together.
And know what we have to do. Let the people know you need a water filter inside your home.
Right.
You know, don't let us continue to cook and drink this contaminated water. Give us some information, and that's all we're asking for.
So let me ask you this. Do you think it's worse than they're saying?
Yes.
We're having our conversation right here, right now, with a community voice. More local control, Beth Butler and Ms. Campbell. I'm seeing more and more citizens react. They're taking it upon themselves to challenge institutions. Beth, in a way, it's getting back to like it was in the 60s and 70s, where people in community groups are not sitting on the sideline anymore. They don't have the resources, and many of them are risking their positions in their relationships with government, but people are stepping up.
I appreciate what you're saying, Oliver, and what Deborah had said about WBOK being in the leadership in our community, always on the front line of these issues that actually are right at the heart of the health and the disempowerment of our community. Sewer and Water Board has taken every opportunity to make this issue go away. Recently, we did a demonstration at the Hyatt Hotel. A community voice went into their lobby and delivered a letter to their management, straight to their owners, to tell them, we don't appreciate the fact that the hotels get a discount on their water bill because our residents are paying the difference.
Right.
They can write off all of their expenses, but we can't. And so why should we pay part of their water bill? But Sewer and Water Board has that policy. The minute we raise this issue with Sewer and Water Board, that they give grand discounts to large commercial and industrial users,
yes.
They removed it from their website.
Right.
They removed the actual rate chart where you could see the difference, and they put up one that obfuscates the issue.
Beth, I want to talk to you about, in a minute we're going to go to break, but when we come back, changing in terms of representation, boards and commissions, you've been around, Ms. Campbell, you've been around long enough that I remember Dorothy May Taylor's voice and the late Roy Glapion's voice on the Sewage and Water Board. I remember when they stopped the rate increases,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
When they went from the Sewage and Water Board to the council and said, no, we can't approve these increases. And now we have an increase that people aren't even aware of. I think there's an increase that a couple of city councils will go approve that's going to happen here in 2020.
That's right.
And no one who was on the board to say, hey, either stop it or it's coming.
Valid. Actually, the city council has twice, right after their election, just immediately after their election, passed multiple year rate increases so that every single year the residents would continue to pay into this structure that A, they're not repairing the infrastructure, B, they're hiding their own culpability around the lead lines because they're the ones that placed a lead whip line at each home between the meter and the owner's line. Right there, you can see it in the water meter. If you lift up your meter, you can see that kind of grayish line going up to the house. That's solid lead.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about the importance of community representation, how it not only helps the community, but it can also save these agencies. Yeah. We'll be back after the break.
What New Orleans is talking about. WBOK, 1230 AM.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. Oliver O.T. Thomas, WBOK, 1230 AM. What New Orleans is talking about. Guys, this movement away from community representation, man. You look at it, man. It's been the last several political terms. We see it happening nationally. We see it happening at the state level. And we even see it happening locally, right?
Yes.
There was always this thing. We're going to put the university professors on the nuclear fusion board. We're going to have people nominated by the business council to put on this board, and then the boards are still broke.
Right. Nothing's being fixed.
The people are still in the dark.
The ones that's on the board has no education of what's going on. You know, they're just going through the changes. They're just putting their names out there and being paid. We have a man that's being paid that's not coming up with any solutions to our problems. You can't give me a list of the things that he's done so far. And now you're giving him more money to continue to blow smoke. You know, this is not what we're looking for. This is not what we need. Let's bring control back to the people. Let the people say who sits on the board.
Beth Butler, what do you get, right, if you could, for our listening audience, right? Because in many cases, the public fell for this experts on the board, right? Even if it wasn't subject matter expertise, they felt for having the doctor here, or the licensed professional here. Explain, because you guys have been always advocating for years for community representation on important boards and commissions. What's the advantage of having that citizen sitting in that seat?
Well, I think you can hear very clearly from Deborah Campbell talking about we have to look at our families and people in the community here in New Orleans basically love their families, okay? And they've been caring about people's health. So let's talk about that.
Right.
If you have a family member who's in the hospital, if you have a family member who died younger than they should have, all of this can relate straight back to lead. And we are inundated with it in the city. And how they can get away without telling people when study after study has shown that a tiny amount of lead, just immeasurable almost, over a long period of time, will cause significant brain damage and can damage every organ. So we're talking about you know.
And those studies have been proven already.
Exactly. Right. But people don't know this, mm-hmm. and the Sewer and Water Board hasn't come to grips with it. They're not looking at, people in the community would like, just as you were suggesting, clean, healthy water. But we know we're not going to get it from the river if they keep adding in plant after plant upriver that's going to pollute straight into the water. So why aren't we looking at aquifers? What, we're not a water-rich state? What, we don't put pipelines everywhere? I mean, Sewer and Water Board, if you had a community base on that board, would be trying to find clean, safe water for us to drink. Okay? This is not even in their vision.
And you just helped paint a picture for me. And I think it's the beauty of what we do here and how important these conversations are. The water is in that funnel. And it's we're downstream from all those chemical plants. And if we don't have a filtration system here to give us the highest quality water, then Wendell and Lee, we're drinking all their stuff.
Waste.
Wow, let's go to the lines right now. Very well put. Anthony, you're on with Ms. Campbell and Ms. Butler.
Yes, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Look, I work for Sewage and Water Board, but in Jefferson Parish. What you have to do is, and what they're hiding is, you have to get the date of when all of this was built in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Get the maps from the weather water, where they get the water from, and how it gets to your house. Get the maps of every house, every street. They don't want to show you that because they have not been doing the maintenance on how to do that, because that's very difficult. And this is the reason why we're getting the lead, because this stuff is so many years old and they haven't been doing no maintenance. They've just been making paychecks after paychecks after paychecks, and nobody never investigated it. So they will never show you the maps. They will never give you the maintenance. They will never tell you nothing. That's why they won't tell you nothing, because they have never been doing nothing. In order to repair that and to do that, you have to tear down houses and reduce whole streets. And they have not been putting the money out to do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. Life expectancy in Louisiana and New Orleans lags behind the national average. Quality of life as it relates to chronic illnesses,
right,
and avoidable health diseases. We lead the nation in those critical categories. And Beth, what you said earlier is that basically I'm just at picturing, right? Here we are. We have Cancer Alley. Here we are. We have Petro Alley. And then we're downstream from where most of that flows. And if we don't have a filtration system that gives us the highest quality of water, and if we don't protect ourselves, then it's obvious what happens.
Our another plan to get clean water, because it may not be a way to filter out all of those chemicals. And frankly, the other side of the coin is, look how much money we pay Sewer and Water Board every month. Didn't you say at one point when you were on the board that they were one of the highest volumes of funds in the country or something?
Well, I mean, when you look at the amount of FEMA funds that went through post-Katrina, it's billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Right. But we as citizens also are paying phenomenal amounts of money to them for free water that they barely treat.
Right?
So where does the money go?
I think that's one of the biggest questions. I think what the organizations like you guys are fighting for is that accountability, but also having that local control. It is, you know, we hear time and time again, it is a agency that was created by state law to operate. I think it was the old New Orleans Drainage District at one time, then it turned into the sewer in Water Board. Ms. Campbell, I think it's safe to say that y'all ain't going anywhere.
No, we're not going anywhere. And I want to give some points to the people of New Orleans. If you need more information, please contact us at 1-800-239-7379. That's A Community Voice. Or online at acommunityvoice.org. We are also giving out lead testing kits for your home. You can get that at https://www.hbbf.org.
And you know, you alluded to it earlier, your work with Dr. Melke.
Yes.
Milky with LSU, a renowned
professor. And Dr. Kasner.
And Dr. Kasner, that this is an alarming data. Now, you know, why an independent organization or a community folk, you know, would come up with this information, it would seem like we would have, this would come from the system. Over 90% of the lines that were detected,
yeah,
over 90% of homes tested by LSU had
some amount of lead in the water. Yes. No one came clean. Yes. So now we're also asking the people of the city to invest in a water filter.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to protect your family, put it on your kitchen faucet. It only costs from $30 to $100.
Right.
And you can filter your water that's coming into your home.
So let's ask this, right? You know, the mayor has fought for fair share. Many of our legislators joined with her and the governor to fight for more money to come to the system. Beth, you know, you may remember back in the 80s and 90s when, you know, the toilets were breaking down, yeah, and the water pressure, were losing the water pressure at the hotels, yeah, on Porges, and we see a continuation of that. Yes. Now, how do we pay for this? You know, if the money doesn't come from the citizens, it's obvious whether these agencies wasted the money or they don't have it. Where does the money come from? Because it ain't going to be free to protect us.
No. Right now, it's coming from the citizens.
See, it's coming from the citizens anyway.
Everything falls on our backs. So I'm pretty sure when it's time to correct this problem, they'll try to get the money from the citizens.
Miss Campbell's like, look, they find money for everything.
Yeah, on our backs.
What did you say?
That's where it's coming from, Oliver. You know it.
If we need to get it done. But the lives of our citizens and the quality of especially of quality water, drinkable, mm-hmm, water, and potable water is more important than worrying about where the money's going to come from. We're having our conversation with Ms. Beth Butler of A Community Voice and Ms. Deborah Campbell. Now, Beth, you talked earlier about aquifers. You talked about retention ponds, setting up local systems. You know, that type of information and science has been out there for quite a long, long time. You know, it seems like that should probably be part of planning forward. Anyway, especially given what we know with water quality in the Big Muddy and what you just described as all of those plants that flow downriver.
Right. And if the city were directly over Sewer and Water Board, and it was a department, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, the library, mm-hmm, is a department, mm-hmm, the fire department is a, mm-hmm, department, there would be planning. There would be, mm-hmm, you know, budget hearings by the city council on where this all needs to go, and the citizens would have more direct access into the whole potential for what we could do to fix this system. Instead, we're on the back end where a turbine blows up, and instead of repairing it, we're going to be indebted to Entergy. Can you imagine paying another Entergy bill every month in the water bill while they're cutting off senior citizens, disabled people, mm-hmm, poor families who can't pay their water bills now, but no, we're going to be paying Entergy of all things. You start to wonder, who is Sewer and Water Board for? Our money is going to this entity, and they manage to channel it out. We don't know exactly where, but now to Entergy. Forever, huge electric bills to run a turbine that we ran before. Why?
I think that's the question we are, and especially if we had community representation or those voices on the commission. So you're saying it should be reconstituted. Of course, we would need the state, right?
Right.
2/3 vote of the legislature.
That's correct.
A bill signed by the governor.
Yes.
That's what the process would be?
Yes. We will have to get Richmond behind us.
Uh-huh.
He's one of our main sources.
Now, he's a congressman. Okay.
And get him to talk to his constituents,
mm-hmm,
and let this get on the board, on their board.
We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap this up by talking about how do the citizens join this movement, and what are our political leaders saying about local control and takeover. We'll be back after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we're okay.
Game over.
WBOK, 1230 AM, New Orleans.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Boy, I can't wait till we have our reality show, talk show right here. Wendell, maybe we'll get VH1 or Bravo, right? Little Black Radio Station, Equity Media, what's happening on Gentile, WBOK 1230 AM with New Orleans is talking about Beth. We got our social media rolling, and Beth looked at me and said, Oliver, you know what I'm talking about. You know what we're talking about. Yeah. You know what we're talking about. Keeping it real.
Yes.
One-on-one, and you guys are keeping it real here. But keeping it real only, you know, the interesting thing, Ms. Campbell and Beth, about this is that to do it your way, actually, it not only helps our city, it actually helps the system.
It helps the system, and it proves stuff to people around the state of Louisiana. That if you come with numbers and you can't get the information you need, get together as a group, protest. We've got petitions to sign on our website. You know, this is how it's going to get done.
Ms. Campbell, is that where, and I touched on it with Beth earlier, though, is that where we are in our society now, though? Are we back to those struggles and fights, the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and earlier, where community groups had to take it upon themselves? Have we gone back to that time?
Yes, we have. We're fighting for our rights. We're fighting for our health. We're fighting for our existence. You know, we have women having miscarriages by numbers and numbers and numbers. We don't have a solution for it. Is the solution pollution?
Look like a bumper sticker. Sound like a bumper sticker and a slogan and a headline. Is the solution fixing the pollution?
That's right.
Beth, another issue, but you know, in a way, what it seems to me like, even though you guys are suing the agency, you guys have done your homework. You've dotted your I's, crossed your T's. You have partnerships with real experts in this area. It would seem to me like, you know, the water board would embrace this movement because then everybody would be on the same page trying to give our citizens what they deserve, and that is a quality, potable, reliable, safe water source.
I'd like to give props right now to Tulane Environmental Law Clinic for successfully filing this lawsuit, right, and working with us on it, by the way, and also working with national experts that A Community Voice has been working with for some time, mm-hmm, out of the National Center for Healthy Housing. It is true that the community at large who are involved with lead, we call them lead heads, right, are very muchly aware of this problem. And Dr. Adrian Kattner from LSU, mm-hmm, is a leader in our state and probably nation, right, going around testing water systems, right, around the state. It's not just New Orleans.
Right.
Unfortunately, this was just a big thing using this cheap lead in all the water systems. So that's the reason why we did win the state task force, a lead advisory task force, that the governor is now working to appoint members of to remove all the lead service lines in the state, because it's a statewide problem.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you're talking about how it affects our community, we are in shock, mm-hmm, about the mortality rate to African-American mothers. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that.
There was a national study that was just done. And, you know, we lead the nation,
okay,
in national studies.
And right, that's not linked to lead. And yet Dr. Milky will tell you, you know, lead causes hypertension, right, and other, you know, issues that are related to this.
But Beth, how can our leaders say no, right? Given the disparity death, the Great Expectations studies and the low birth rate, the infant mortality studies that have been done. Let's go back to the 90s and the Tulane lead abatement studies that were done in Central City in the Ninth Ward and in the housing developments. How can they deny this?
It's all about the money with them. This is going to cost real money, even though places like Madison, Wisconsin, just every time they repaired a street, removed all the lead lines so that it was less costly. And, of course, you are talking about manual labor. You're not talking about, you know, lawyers level.
Right.
But maybe they don't care about that because they can't get a contract kickback if their own crews do it. So I'm just saying that there is a cost.
We caught that. I caught that.
There is a cost factor involved here. But they can get away with it because they're completely unaccountable. And their whole model is to obfuscate. Their model
is to lie. How much is it worth to save our lives?
It's worth everything. And it's our health. It's not just our lives. Yeah. It's quality.
How do you put a price on that?
Ms. Campbell, at the end of the day, that's the foundation of your question and this initiative. How much does it cost to save our lives?
That's right. I have a son, and he was robbed of his intelligence with the condition they call autism.
Right.
So, you know, what's the price to me? What did that cost me?
Another very important, profound conversation here about systems, about accountability, about where do we go from here. Ms. Beth Butler, with Executive Director with A Community Voice, and Ms. Deborah Campbell, who's not given her life to this. She's given her story. This is personal.
It is. And he's my only child.
And you ain't going anywhere.
No way. I'm here to fight till the end.
How can people line up? Is there a website they can go to? One more time, when is this case going to be in court? Where do they show up? Beth and Ms. Campbell, first of all, thank y'all for painting this picture because, you know, when we first started this conversation, it was about those water lines and being replaced. It was about infrastructure and rebuilding a system. But for me, and I think for our listening audience, y'all have successfully painted a picture about pollution in Louisiana and having a water source that may not be reliable. And what we can do, not only Louisiana, and having a water source that may not be reliable, and what we can do, not only to fix it, but what we can do to protect it and stop a lot of the catastrophe and a lot of the sadness that's happened from having lead-based water. Beth, anything you want to add before we?
I do. New Orleans children have had higher lead blood poisoning levels
for decades.
Flint, Michigan. Okay, even when Flint, Michigan was at its highest crisis level, the children of New Orleans' blood poisoning levels were higher. They remain higher than Flint's today. This is a crisis, and by the way, it's a crisis for adults, elderly, people in poor health. Having the kind of lead poisoning that we have, not only from the housing, which you know, please do not dry sand your house. It disperses it everywhere and has poisoned neighborhoods. That's a source of poisoning. But this ongoing, consistent, tiny amount of lead that we get in the water, and it could be higher than that, it's created a health crisis for our community that has not been acknowledged except by our experts. And you can go on the website, as Deborah Campbell said, to acommunityvoice.org, and you will find the petition. You can pass it. You can get your religious leaders to sign it, because right now we're in the community education phase of this campaign, and it is no small miracle that WBOK is here leading on it. Thank you so much.
This is another piece of the puzzle, guys. Think about it. When I talked to you guys the other day about the initiative, with Wendell Pierce and I are actually going to the heavy hitters, the kids out on the street, right? Wendell, as we think about this, right, what's that other piece of the puzzle that gets them to act out more extreme? Is it about the environment? Is it the water they drink? it's just another piece of the puzzle that the Equity Media Group, your team here at WBOK, we're not going to let this stuff rest. Not only are we going to complete this puzzle, we're going to help put together a puzzle that the people in this town put together themselves. We'll be back with Seth Smiley. You don't want to miss it, man. We heard from everybody. Hard luck at the Hard Rock. Well, Seth Smiley's back to help us trying to figure this stuff out, where it is, where it's going. We'll be back after the break.